Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 14 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Vov. You'll notice a Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up with the basic title or heading of our sukkah. So, without any further ado, the Mishnah: Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim lePesach Doros. What is the difference between the Pesach sacrifice, the Korban Pesach that was offered before the actual departure from Mitzrayim, and the Pesach Ledoros, means Pesach that we practice every year. In other words, as long, of course, as the Beis HaMikdash was around. Pesach Mitzrayim, Mechol B'Be'asor, the Pesach that was offered in Mitzrayim, was purchased on the 10th of Nisan. V'Ta'un Hazo B'Agudas Ezoiv V'al Hamashkoi V'al Shtei Hamazuzos, and there was a blood application using a bundle. An aguda is a few branches that are tied together of the azov plant. So these are azov branches that were dipped in the blood of the animal, and the blood was applied to the lintel and the two side posts of their doors. The nechal b'chipazon, and it was eaten hastily. Belailo echad, in one night. Upesach doros noheg kol shiva. Now this line is very difficult to understand on its own, but we'll just translate for now and allow the Gemara to deal with that later. Namely, the Pesach of future generations is something that is practiced all 7 days. The Gemara, Minolon. From where do we know that the Pesach Mitzrayim was purchased on the 10th of Nisan? Dichtiv, Dabru el kol adas Yisrael leimor be'osor l'choyrish hazeh v'yikhu. The Pesach is addressing the nation of Israel, that they are to be told that on the 10th of the month they are to purchase an animal for their Korban Pesach. And the word hazeh is going to be the basis of what our Mishnah taught, and it's a limitation expression in which we see zeh mekho mi be'asor v'ein pesach doros mekho mi be'asor. This one, the Pesach Mitzrayim, is purchased at the 10th of Nisan. Not so with regard to the Pesach of future generations, or the Pesach every Pesach beyond that Pesach Mitzrayim. Before we continue with the Gemara, we're about to embark on a rather long discussion, a very, very repetitive style Gemara. You can see by the markings, just by letting your eye scan ahead on the page, you see quite a bit of repetition by way of markings. On the side of the Gemara, under our Noseh, our topic heading, we've written HaGemara Medayekes Mehamilo Hazeh. The Gemara infers from the word Hazeh, which is in Shmos Perek Yudbeis Posuk Gimel, the mitzvahs mekho be'osor shel Pesach Mitzrayim eino noheges bePesach Doros. The mitzvah, the commandment of purchasing or acquiring the Korban Pesach on the 10th of Nisan, applied only in Mitzrayim and not something applicable to future Pesachim. You see a triangle, and we already learned one of them. These represent diyukim mehaposuk hazeh. From the word hazeh, there are two specific diyukim, inferences, that we want to analyze and see if the inference is really accurate. Namely, to assume that the Pesach is telling me that only in Pesach Mitzrayim this happened and not in future Pesachim. We have a note on the side. We have written He'ora. Mashma mirihato de Gemara. It's mashma from the flow of the Gemara. De mekho be'osar ubikur dalid. There's a next triangle is going to highlight the expression bikur dalid yom, and that is the idea of having an animal checked to be mum free, to be blemish free, over a period of 4 days. 4 days of checking. Bear in mind that the Korban Pesach was offered on the 14th of Nisan. So, being that it's purchased on the 10th of Nisan, so there are 4 days that lead up to that 14th that are available for checking it to be blemish-free. So, the appearance at first glance of this Gemara is that the purchase at the 10th and the need for checking it 4 days, havion shnei halachas nifrodos. It sounds like there are two separate halachas. Lochein hivlatnu oisam with this triangle. That's why we highlight them as two separate points in our markings. Mahu pirusha shomekho ba'osar, as far as what is the idea of purchasing on the 10th. Ayin Rashi al ha-mishneh v'chein ayin b'divrei ha-rashash. There's more to this than meets the eye. Rashi on the Mishnah tells you mekho ba'osar means omer zeh l'shem Pesach, that you dedicate the animal on the 10th of Nisan as my Korban Pesach. So mekho ba'osar is a reference to the dedication of the animal, labeling it, sanctifying it as a Korban Pesach. And then there's the 4 days of checking. Structurally, we have, besides the triangle that we mentioned, we also have a bow tie that will appear, and under the next Mivne heading, the bow tie highlights the expression Elameata. If this be the case, that from the word ze we make a distinction, Shemechalkin bein Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach Doros, Alsmach Milas Miut. If this is so, that based on a limitation expression that we see in verses, we are directed to making a distinction between the one-time Pesach offering in Mitzrayim and all the future Korban Pesachim. Ayin yesh l'dayik hochi l'chol ha'alochos ha'bois. Are we to make that inference regarding all the other halochos that appeared in the Torah with regard to the Pesach Mitzrayim? So that if there are a list of halachas, and there are a list of halachas that apply to the Pesach Mitzrayim, and then you see a limitation expression, that would lead me to think that it applied only in Mitzrayim and not in future generations. We're going to discover that that's not really so, that there are numerous halachas that were said in the context of Pesach Mitzrayim, and yet they are applicable for future generations as well. So the question is, then, how do we deal with, on the one hand, we see the limitation expression excluding certain things from future generations. On the other hand, we have exclusionary expressions, and they don't exclude anything in reality. We'll see the use of a dotted line as the Gemara unfolds. You can, but just by scanning ahead in the Gemara, you'll see this dotted underlining. That hadgosha tachas hatshuva didorshim, the avadata, there is going to be a repeating answer based on the posuk, the avadata es ha'avoida. We're going to see that quote from a posuk, and it's going to appear a number of times. And again, as your eye scans over the page, you can see how many times it appears again and again. That posuk comes to undo what I would have otherwise thought is a limitation, and rather lahashvois bein Pesach Mitzrayim lePesach Doros. The role of V'avadatos Avodazos is going to instructs us to compare the rules of Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach of future generations. Oysa tshuva nitenes kol pam. The same answer is going to be given each time the question is raised. Now, if that be the case, that the limitation isn't really a limitation, the next issue will be, and which is highlighted by the double underlining, then im kein ma dorshim imilas amiut. If what we thought is going to be limited to Pesach Mitzrayim, and it turns out it's not limited to Pesach Mitzrayim, then the question will be, so what is the role of the limitation expression in each instance? At this point, as is often the case in an introductory stage of learning, it's hard to understand what we're saying. It's a bit abstract, but we're trying anyway to present a format. The format we've done already. Now let's get into the Gemara, and hopefully things will be much clearer later. So far, we've learned that the source for the din in the Mishnah, that Pesach Mitzrayim was mekho mibe'oser, the animal was acquired and designated on the 10th of Nisan as a Korban Pesach, not so with regard to future psochim. And this was learned from the word hazeh, a limitation expression. We start with our first botai, which is a question, and in this case it happens to be a long question. You can see we've marked it thusly. Elo me'ato. If it is so then that hazeh creates this limitation and exclusion of Pesach Doros, v'hoyo lochem l'mishmeres ad arbo sor yom l'chodesh hazeh. The pasuk describes the animal that you acquire shall be guarded and checked out for 4 days until the 14th of this month. Are you going to say Hochinami Zeh Ton Bikur Dalet Yomim Koidim Shchito V'Ein Acher Ton Bikur? Are you going to say that only this one, the Pesach Mitzrayim, requires the 4 day blemish checking before its slaughtering and offering, and other Psochem, future generation Psochem, don't require that? V'Hotanya. But we have a Tanaic source that will eventually indicate not so, but that rather Bikur Dalet Yomim is something that's not limited to Pesach Mitzrayim. What does it say in this source? V'hotanya, Ben Bagbag Omer. Ben Bagbag says, Minayin L'tomid Shetoun Bikur Dalet Yomim Kodim Shchit. From where do we know that the daily public sacrifice, which is known as the Korban Tomid, there's a Tomid in it, Tomid Shel Shachar, a morning Tomid, and a Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, an afternoon Korban Tomid, that daily public sacrifice needs to be checked for a period of 4 days before its offering. And how do I know that? Shenemar, Tishmeru Lakriv Li B'moado. That's one posik. That's the posik by the Tomid, Ulahalanu Omer, and later, and further on it says, V'hoyo Lochem L'mishmeres Ad Arbo Osar. Ma lahalon, just like over there, by the Pesach Mitzrayim, Ton Bikur Dalet Yomim Koidim Shchita. That posuk was the, we said later on a little erroneously, that posuk is when it says lahalon Omer, it's a reference to the posuk from Shmos Perek Yud Beis that we saw quoted just a couple lines above. It says that it shall be guarded for 4 days, checked for blemishing, for any blemishes during that time. So just like there, by the Pesach Mitzrayim, Ton, Bikur, Dalet, Yomim, Koidim, Shchita, Afkan, so too by the Tomid, Ton, Bikur, Dalet, Yomim, Koidim, Shchita. Now, we have to spell out over here, and we've written in between the lines, likewise, the Pesach Doros will have that same requirement of Bikur, Dalet, Yomim. That information is taken from Rashi. So the point, and thanks to Rashi, we can emphasize the question that even though there's a limitation expression by the Pasuk of Mishmeres, where it said Chodesh Hazeh, nevertheless we see that it's not limited to Pesach Mitzrayim, the need of Bikur Dalet Yomim. The Gemara responds, Shaini Hosam, that is different, regarding the issue of Bikur Dalet Yomim is different, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Tishmeru, upesach doros nami hoksiv, ve'ovadeto es avoido hazois b'chodesh hazeh. And from this posuk of the ovadeto, which is a posuk found in Shmos Perek Yud Gimel, which is stated by the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, but we learn from this, shiu kol avoidois chodesh zeh kozeh. Namely, that Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros will be equal with regard to this din of Bikur Dalet Yomim. if we look in the Rashi, he says, Shu kol avoidos shechidish hazeh kozeh, kol pischei doros hukshu zeh lozeh. All the pesachim of future generations are compared. However, regarding that first halacha, the first triangle that we had emphasized before, of designation from the 10th, of Nisan imit mehazeh. The word hazeh, in fact, limits mekho be'osor to Pesach Mitzrayim. V'hai hazeh degabi bikur, dor shel milsa achritu v'for shvelzil. As far as the limitation expression here by the bikur dalet al yomim, it has a different role, it has another purpose, but not to limit bikur dalet yomim to Pesach Mitzrayim. The Gemara continues. Now we start with our using the double underline, which we said is also one of the repeat markings that we see here. And it's a question on if we're then equating Pesach Doros to Pesach Mitzrayim, then Elohahu Hazeh Limute Pesach Sheni Dekavose. The word Hazeh has an exclusionary role to exclude from the rule of Bikur Dalet Yomim the requirement for the Pesach Sheni, for the replacement or the makeup korban that's brought on the 14th of Iyar for someone who couldn't bring his Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. With regard to the Pesach Sheni, there we say there's no need for Bikur Dalet Yomim. And you might ask, so why are we saying that Pesach Mitzrayim does require the Bikur Dalet Yomim and not the Pesach Sheni? Why are we, through Pesach Mitzrayim, excluding Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara explains that in one word. It said the Kavosei. They are both like in nature. And that when I am teaching a topic, and within that topic I have an exclusionary expression, it's most logical to say that I'll be excluding something that is like the topic that I'm currently in. So Pesach Mitzrayim was a one-day sacrifice. It was a one-day event. So too, the Pesach Sheni is a one-day event. Hence, Pesach Sheni lends itself to be that which is excluded from the din of Bikur Dalet Yomim, which does apply to the Pesach Mitzrayim. We continue. Elo Me'ato. Again, the question refers back to the exclusion of Pesach Doros because of the word Hazeh that we found in the context of Mekho Be'osar. So the Gemara asks, Elo Me'ato, Dechtiv, it says by Pesach Mitzrayim, V'yachlu as abosar balaylo Hazeh. Hachi nami, are you going to say, Dezeh ne'echal balaylo v'ein acher ne'echal balaylo? That Pesach Mitzrayim is eaten that night. And Pesach of future generations is not eaten that night. Omar Kro. The Gemara says, not so. But rather, just like the Pesach Mitzrayim is eaten that night, the night following its slaughter, so too Pesach Doros will be eaten the night following its slaughter. As it says, V'yovadeto es ha'avoida. And we said before that this pasuk equates Pesach Doros to Pesach Mitzrayim. Well, okay, so now we're equating them. Elo Hazeh Lomali. So what's the role of Hazeh that we just saw after the Botai? V'yachlu asabosu b'al Hazeh. What is the role of Hazeh? If it's not going to be a limitation expression with regard to Achilas Pesach b'Yisrael Laila. Answer, I need the word Hazeh for Lichter Reb Elozer, Ben Azaria, Rabbi Akiva. They darshan the word Hazeh, each one in his own way. They argue, Reb Elozer, Ben Azaria, and Rabbi Akiva argue with regard to how much time do you have for eating the Korban Pesach. Reb Elozer, Ben Azaria says until Chatzos, until midnight, and Rabbi Akiva says you have the entire night. And they learn that from the word Hazeh. So Hazeh has a role, and that's for their machlokas regarding time frame for eating. Okay, we go back to our basic question style. Elo me'ato dechti v'chol orel lo yochal boi. The word bo in this pasuk is also a limitation type expression. it says that anyone who's uncircumcised cannot participate in eating the Korban Pesach. So are you going to now tell me, Hochinami de bo eino ochel avol ochel Pesach doros, that only in Pesach Mitzrayim he was not, the uncircumcised, the Oriel, was not to eat from it, but future generations he is? We know that's not so. Omar Kro v'Ovadeto, again the dot underlining, highlighting this answer, that we do equate Pesach Doros to Pesach Mitzrayim, namely just like by Pesach Mitzrayim, the Oriel did not partake of it, so too in Pesach Doros, the Oriel does not partake of it. Ela boy lomali, so what does the exclusionary expression of bo in fact accomplish? Answer, boy eino ochel avul ochel b'matzu moro. The Oriel, when the Torah excludes him, the Torah excludes the Oriel only from the meat of the sacrifice, but he's not excluded from eating the matzah and the mor that accompany the korban. So bo has a use, and it's for this, as we just said. Ela me'ato, kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. Achinami de bo eino oichel avol oichel pesach l'doros. A ben nechor is a person who's, as Rashi says, shenisnakru ma'isav lo v'shev b'shamayim. He's become a heretic. So the pasuk that says a heretic shall not participate in the korban pesach, are you going to tell me that it's also something that applies only to the Pesach Mitzrayim and not Pesach Doros? Omar Kro v'Ovadeto. Again, the same posuk of equating Pesach Doros to Pesach Mitzrayim. And just like in Pesach Mitzrayim, the heretic does not participate in this, in the Korban, so too with regard to Pesach Doros. Ela bo lomali, so what about the bo expression that was in this kol b'necho l'yocha bo? What are we to do with that? Answer, boy hamoraz das poselos vein hamoraz das poselos betruma. Heresy, hamoraz das, heresy is something that is the source of voiding when it comes to the Korban Pesach. But heresy does not void someone or render someone unfit for eating truma. V'itzrich lemichtav orel, v'itzrich lemichtav ben nechor. And here the Gemara gets off on a slightly on a detail and points out that I need to tell you that the orel is excluded and that the heretic is excluded. And it would not have been sufficient for me to teach one and I would have been able to figure out the other. And the Gemara explains why. Had the Torah said that the Oriel is unfit for the Korban Pesach, I would have said Mishum de Mois, because the fact that he still has the foreskin on his body, that makes him disgusting. Avo ben Echor lo Mois. The ben Echor, he isn't necessary, he's not Mois. He doesn't have that characteristic. He's a heretic. He's someone that probably, he certainly was circumcised, but later in life he became a heretic. So he doesn't have, but he's not considered disgusting in that sense, and he's not mos. Tzricho, therefore, in addition to telling me that the Orel is unfit, so too the Torah has to spell out that the heretic is unfit. Had the Torah not spelled it out, I would have said, well, he's not mos, so he can participate in bringing a Korban Pesach. Therefore, I have to tell you, he cannot. V'yashvina ben Nechor, had the Torah said that we won't accept the Korban Pesach from a heretic, v'shum de'ein libo l'shamayim, because his heart is not toward the Almighty. Avol Orel, the libo l'shamayim emolo. The Orel might have a physical, we'll say, problem. His foreskin is still part of his anatomy. However, by way of heart, he has a total belief and faith and commitment to Torah mitzvahs. We should have pointed out maybe that an orel, as Rashi says, his lack of circumcision is not a demonstration of heresy. His lack of circumcision is because his brothers had died before him after they were circumcised. So there's an assumption that the family doesn't lend itself or cannot be circumcised and survive. So as far as his internal thinking, his attitude is concerned, he's a wonderful person. So I would have thought that the Orel's Korban is not something that the Orel's Korban Pesach could be accepted. Tzricha, therefore, the Torah has to spell out that the Orel also is not going to be accepted. As you can see, we have a brackets, even though we have a bow tie, but the next couple lines are in brackets. We have a bracket length indicator. And Rashi is of the feeling that these lines are not part of the real girsa of the Gemara, not part of the real version of the Gemara. Hence, we skip them to the next bow tie. We call it bow tie number 6. Elomeato, that hazeh is an exclusionary or limitation expression to the Pesach Mitzrayim and not applying to Pesach Doros. The pasuk says, "By the Pesach Mitzrayim, umalta oisoi oz yoichaboi." You shall circumcise him and then participate in the Korban Pesach. Hachi nami, are you going to tell me the bow eno ochel avol ochel the Pesach Doros? Are you going to say that in the case of someone who has an uncircumcised person in his household, only by Mitzrayim that was a disqualifier, but not with regard to Pesach of future generations? Omar Kro vi Avadata. And again, the same answer. The Torah wants me to equate the rules of Pesach Rishon, or the Pesach of Mitzrayim, with Pesach Doros. So just like in Pesach Mitzrayim, members of the household that were uncircumcised limit the owner from eating from his Korban Pesach, so too with regard to Pesach Doros. Ela bo lomali. So the question then is, what about the limitation expression bo in this pasuk? Answer: bo mila zechor avodav ma'akeves, ve'ein mila zechor avodav ma'akeves betruma. If someone has uncircumcised members of his household, so it's ma'akev, it serves as a binding force against his doing a korban pesach, but not so in the case of truma, namely for Kohen who's entitled to eat truma happens to have children or slaves that are uncircumcised. That doesn't prevent the balabos, owner of the truma, the Kohen, from eating his truma. Elo me'ato. And again, a new question. Dichti v'etzem lo yishburu boi. Again, you see a limitation expression, bo. You shall not break a bone in it, in the Korban Pesach. Are you going to tell me, Ochanayim, the boy in a shover of a shover Pesach Doros, that only in the Pesach Mitzrayim he is restricted from breaking bones, but in Pesach of future generations allowed to break bones? That's not so. Omar Kro v'yavadita. In fact, as we said, it's not so. And that we learned from the Pesach of Yavadita, equating Pesach of Mitzrayim with the Pesach of future generations. No, friend in this case, for no bone breaking. Ella boi lomali. So what about the role of the word bo in this pasuk that we just saw? So the Gemara answers, bo is a limitation b'kosher, the lo b'pasul. The iser of breaking bones applies only to a kosher korban vessel, not to a korban vessel that was found to be pasul. In such a case, if the korban vessel is pasul, so there's no iser of breaking the bones. Elo me'ato, dichtiv, al tochlu mimenu no. Again, we have a pasuk from Pesach Mitzrayim, and it says there that you shall not eat from it in its no state. No is a situation where it's practically raw. It's highly under-roasted. So the pasuk says that you shall not eat the Pesach Mitzrayim no. Are you going to then tell me mimenu yate oicho avolate oicho no the Pesach Doros? That only in Mitzrayim there was this restriction of eating it no, but future generations I'd be allowed to eat it no? Omar Kro v'ovadata. And again, the pasuk v'ovadata is used to equate Pesach Doros with Pesach Mitzrayim regarding this matter as well, that there's an issur of eating it in the no, this practically raw state. Ela mimenu lomali. So what's the role of mimenu? The pasuk that was quoted of al tochlu mimenu, which is a limitation expression, what's being excluded? Well, the Gemara answers, I need mimenu l'chadarabo omer Rabbi Yitzchok. to teach me that an Oreil is Osir in Meiser. That is pointed out by Rashi toward the end of the page. Kidrabo Amrivisok Peperog Oreil Nemar Mimenu Bepesa Nemar Mimenu Bemeiser. The word Mimenu appears in the context of Pesach, and it also appears in the context of Meiser. Mala Halon Oreil Osir Bepesach Afkan Oreil Osir Bemeiser. Let us continue in the Gemara. V'nechal b'chipozon. B'chipozon means in haste. V'nolon. From where do I know this? D'amakra v'achatem oisoi b'chipozon. When we learn from the limitation expression of oso, we say oisoi ne'achal b'chipozon v'ein acher ne'achal b'chipozon. That only the Pesach Mitzrayim was eaten in a state of chipozon, not so in the case of Pesach of future generations. Upesach doros neheg nohe kol shiva. And we said when we learned the Mishnah that this line was difficult to understand, that the Pesach of future generations is in practice all 7 days. Ah, my koi. The Mishnah that says it's nohe kol shiva, the Pesach doros is in practice for 7 days. What is that going on? E lemo a Pesach. If you think it's going on the Korban Pesach, Pesach kol shiva mihiko, is there such a thing as having a Pesach around for 7 days? Impossible. You have 2 days and the intervening night in which to eat the Korban Pesach, and by the next morning after that, it is to be burnt if it's left over. So you have just a few hours every year when Pesach comes around in which to finish it off. So what does it mean when we say it's Noe Kol Shiva? It certainly can't be referring to the Korban Pesach itself. Elo Achometz. It's a reference to the prohibition of eating Chometz. Michlal, we would infer, the Pesach Mitzrayim, Lailo Echod Vesulo. Are we then to infer that Pesach Mitzrayim, in contrast with Pesach Doros, that was the whole point we made before, that Pesach Doros is Noe Kol Shiva, leaving Pesach Mitzrayim to be something binding only that evening, the evening ushering in the 15th of Nisan, but something binding only that evening. So are we going to then say that when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to the Din of Chometz, Michlal, the Pesach we said, when it comes to Chometz, that's what the Mishnah was referring to when it said the Pesach Doros is Noe Kol Shiva, leaving us to contrast Pesach Mitzrayim with that, coming out at Pesach Mitzrayim, Chometz would be Noheg as an Isser, as prohibited only that night, the night following the 14th. Vesulo, and not any more. But that we find is not true. V'hotanyo, Rabbi Yossi Gvile Omer, Minayin the Pesach Mitzrayim, She'ein Chimutzu Noheg Elo Yom Echad. From where do we know that Pesach Mitzrayim is limited to 1 day? And here is the Ikr, it's not in the words of the Gemara, but we wrote in between the lines, Mashma Kol Hayom. It's Mashma that the Isur Chometz is Noheg the whole day, not just the night. That having been said, that is already our question on what we said at the top line, that Pesach, regarding Pesach Mitzrayim, the Isur Chometz is only that night. Here we see Pesach Mitzrayim, the Chometz Isser, is not just that night, but it extends to the following day as well, the entire day, the day of the 15th of Nisan. So from where do we know that Pesach Mitzrayim is no way like that, namely 1 day? Talmud Lomar, Lo Yeochel Chometz. V'somechle Hayom Atem Yotzim. So the Pasuk says, regarding Pesach Mitzrayim, don't eat Chometz, and it also says right next to it, today you are leaving. And we know that from this juxtaposition of verses that the Isser of Chometz was based on Hayom, the whole day of the Exodus. The question now is, what about the source at the bottom of Tzali Vov, or our Mishnah more accurately, the Pesach Doros is Noe Kol Shiva, whereas Pesach Mitzrayim is only that Laila? What is that referring to? Elohochi komar. Rather, thusly we are to understand the Mishnah. Lailo echod vodin lepesach doros. That means you have one night in which to eat the Pesach in Mitzrayim and one night in which to eat all your Pesachim of future generations. The chimutzo kol hayom, the iser chometz of the Pesach Mitzrayim was the entire day. Upesach doros noheg kol shiva. And as far as Pesach of future generations, it's iser chometz is noheg, is binding all 7 days. So that's what the when the Mishnah made reference to that the Doros Pesach Mitzrayim is 7 days, the Mishnah said Pesach Doros Noi Kol Shiva. That's a reference to the Isser of Chometz is Kol Shiva. But as far as eating the Korban Pesach with regard to both Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros, the eating time was limited to that evening. The Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with a Tmuras Pesach. A Tmuras Pesach is a situation where someone had a Korban Pesach and attempted to replicate its sanctity onto a chulin, a mundane, common animal. The Torah prohibits doing such things, replicating Kedusha that exists on one animal and attempting to reproduce that sanctity by virtue of having one animal already sanctified and trying to replicate it onto another animal. If you want to sanctify an animal, so you sanctify it on its own merits straight out, not by having present an animal that's already sanctified and then trying to maimir or replicate its kedusha onto something else. That's the general realm. As far as the content of the Gemara, we will find it to be quite detailed, dealing with a Korban Pesach that was set aside to be offered on the 14th of Nisan, and the animal got lost. I then set aside a replacement animal, and I used the replacement animal, and I have present the original Korban Pesach, and from that I am maimir onto another animal. That's more or less the framework within which we will be operating as we go on in the Gemara. But first the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Shomati, I heard from my Rebbes, my teachers, Shetmuras Pesach Kreva, Utmuras Pesach Eino Kreva. I heard 2 points, and the Ein Li Lefarish, and I don't have an explanation. Rashi explains, because I forgot concerning which one they said which explanation. So we have Rabbi Yeshua who expresses his ambiguity with regard to some area of law applying or concerning Tmuras Pesach, where on given certain circumstances it will be offered, and under other circumstances it itself won't be offered. Let's look at Rashi before we go on for further clarification. We look at Rashi Shetmuras Pesach Krev. We're looking at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines in the Mishnah commentary. He says that I heard that Tmuras Pesach Kreva Shlomim Achar Pesach, that it's offered as a Korban Shlomim after Pesach. Maybe just a word of introduction to this point. It's a point that we've seen in the past, but a Korban Pesach is offered as a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. Let us say someone had a Korban Pesach and didn't offer it then, but was left over. What happens? So the Torah mandates that it automatically, or let's say it has built into it the switchover mechanism to becoming a Korban Shlomim, so that a Pesach on the 14th of Nisan is obviously a Korban Pesach. Pesach B'Shar Yemois HaShona is a Korban Shlomim. Rashi just pointed out that Rabbi Yeshua had mentioned that I heard that a Tumuras Pesach is offered. It would be offered as a Shlomim after Pesach. U'tumuras ha-Pesach eino kreva, Rashi goes on, v'yesh tumuras Pesach she'eino kreva hi atzmo Shlomim, where the animal itself that was the subject of the replication is not going to be offered itself as a korban shlomim, lo roya, rather it's sent out to graze, ashit stoiv, until it develops a blemish, istov b'mum, means it develops a blemish, the timocher, it will then be sold, and the sanctity that was on the animal transfers to the money, the yofi b'domeh shlomim, and the money is then used to buy a korban shlomim, the moisar ha-pesach korban shlomim, that which is residual from a korban pesach, left over from a korban pesach, is then brought as a korban shlomim. So, basically, Rav Yeshua says, I heard that at times the tumuras pesach is offered itself as a shlomim after pesach, and on other occasions I've heard that it itself won't be offered, but rather its money will be used for purchasing a shlomim. And he says, "Ainli v'farish," and mainly, I forgot the explanation. Omar Rabbi Akiva. We continue in the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Akiva, ani afarish. I will explain. HaPesach she'nimtza, a Pesach that was found. Now, that was found, it means it had been lost. And when it was lost, a second animal was set aside to be this person's korban, official korban Pesach. So we have a Pesach that was lost and then subsequently found. Now, when was it found? So there are different scenarios. Koidem shchitas haPesach. It was found before you slaughtered the replacement animal. Therefore, at the time of the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, he had two animals that were eligible for being the Korban Pesach. He then chose one of them. By choosing one, you are in effect pushing away. In Hebrew we say, you're doiche biodayim, you're actively rejecting the other animal. What he then did was, he has this now rejected former Korban Pesach, and he does a tmura. He replicates its kedusha onto another animal. So Rabbi Kiva says that, let's read his words. Koidem shchitas haPesach yire ad shiyistoev v'imocher v'yavi b'domav shlomim v'chein tmuraso. With regard to the lost animal that was lost and then found before the slaughtering of his chosen korban Pesach, so the one that was formerly lost and now found and rejected because he chose his replacement animal to be offered as his korban Pesach. So you now have what in effect is a rejected sacrifice, where you actively rejected it. That's the point we need to emphasize. You, by choosing one when you had both in front of you, actively rejected the other one. That results in the inability to offer the animal itself as a korban shlomim. Rather, it's sent out to graze until it develops a blemish, it's then sold, and with the money, you will buy a korban shlomim. And the same thing will apply to the tumura. Namely, if he had replicated the kedusha that was on this rejected animal to a third animal, to a chulin animal, it then takes on those same characteristics. And it cannot be offered, the tumura cannot be offered on the altar. Rather, it's sent out to graze, develop a mum, and with the money, you will buy a korban. We continue in the Mishnah. Achar shchitas haPesach. The same scenario where someone had a korban Pesach and it got lost. In the meantime, he set aside a replacement animal as his Korban Pesach and slaughtered it. And this is the point of difference. Here he slaughtered his Korban Pesach. When he slaughtered it, there was no other animal around. There was just this replacement Korban Pesach. Then what happened? He found his original Korban Pesach. At that point, we should say, or at the point that he slaughtered the replacement animal, he wasn't choosing one of two animals. As far as he was concerned, it was only his replacement animal. The original one was found only later on. So you can't say that he rejected it by pushing it aside and choosing the replacement. It wasn't around at the time of the Shechitas HaPesach. What happens? Korev Shlomim. So once you find the original animal you had dedicated as a Korban Pesach, and your finding of it took place after you slaughtered the replacement animal to serve as your real Korban Pesach, so now this original one, Korev Shlomim, is offered as a Korban Shlomim. It's not a rejected animal. The Chein Tmura, so and the same thing will apply to the Tmura, the replication animal. The Gemara asks a very basic question. Why does this Mishnah feature the halacha of the Tmura? If the thrust of this Mishnah is to make a distinction between something that was lost and found, subsequently found before the Shechitas HaPesach versus a case where the lost one was found after the Shechitas HaPesach, the Gemara says, V'leimo Pesach Korev, U'Pesach Eino Korev. Why not speak about the original Korban Pesach that was lost and then subsequently found, it itself either being offered as a Shlomim, and that would be true in the case if you found it after the replacement one was Shechted, or the case of Eino Korev, where the original animal will not be offered as a Shlomim because it was something you rejected. Why then does the Mishnah focus on the laws of Tmura? The Gemara answers, Ha Komashmlon, the point of the Mishnah was to teach me the Ikot Tmuras HaPesach the Lo Korva, that there is an example of a Tmura of a Pesach that is not offered. And this is told to us to dispel something else I might have thought. And to see that, we look in the Rashi. Rashi at the beginning of the Gemara commentary, De'iko tmuras ha-pesach de'lo korvo, ve'lo amrinon, and don't say, mitchila shlomim hi. That at the outset, it was designed to be a shlomim, even if he did the Tmura from the lost one prior to the slaughtering of the replacement one, lo kov oso zman hashchito b'shem Pesach, the time of the slaughtering of the Pesach would not have established it with the title Pesach. The ain body, and hence it wouldn't be considered something rejected. Notice all of this we have in singular quotation marks, because all of this is what you, all of that which we read, you shall not say. Ella, what's the point of the Mishnah? Af hi nikbas bePesach veNidches. Even the Tmura is established as a Pesach, and hence part of the rejection. So maybe in layman's terms, what the Mishnah is telling me, don't think that since you did a Tmura, it puts it outside of the ballpark with regard to these halachas of dichui, of rejection. Rather, that's not so. Rather, once you replicate the Kedusha from a Korban Pesach, if that Korban Pesach is considered rejected, that rejection element is also replicated upon the Tmura. We turn back to the Gemara. Itmar. We have an Amoraic machloikis now between Rabba and Rabbi Zera. We saw in the Mishnah a type of cutoff point. The cutoff point being the shechita of the replacement animal, i.e., if lost one is found prior to that cutoff point, so then the lost one will be considered dochui, a rejected animal. And we saw as the outgrowth of something being rejected is that it cannot be offered anymore as a sacrifice itself, but rather only its money value can be used to purchase another korban. The issue that we'll deal with right now focuses on that cutoff point. So we saw pre-shechita and post-shechita, i.e. something found either before the replacement one was shechted as a korban pesach, or the lost one was found after the shechita, which is when we say after the cutoff point, we're basically saying non-rejection. The situation of rejection is only when two are present and I'm choosing one over the other. Before we go further into the Gemara, let's take advantage of some of the introductory material we have in the form of our nosei, our topic heading on the side, where we've written, Machloikis Rabba v'Rabbi Zera, Mahu HaKoivea Shiei Dochui, a controversy between these two Amoraim, Rabba and Rabbi Zera, what establishes rejection, and then in parentheses we noted V'Yistoiv, and as a result of that, the animal that was rejected is then sent out to graze, develop a blemish, at which point it can then be sold, and its money will be used to buy a korban shlomim. So we have a machlokis. So possibility aleph, mitziosoi lifnei chatzois, the finding of the lost animal before midday, and then when midday, which is the time on the clock for the offering of the Pesach, when that midday comes around and I have two animals in front of me, so both of them are labeled with the Shem Pesach on it, and then the one that I do not use is subject to rejection. There's a case of Mitzioso Achar Chatzos, finding it after midday, Lifnei Shechitas HaPesach, but prior to the actual slaughtering. That very case, finding the original animal after midday, but prior to the slaughtering of the replacement Korban Pesach, is going to be the point of machlokis between Rabba and Rabbi Zera. We added here, Lekulei Alma, everyone will agree, im nimtzo achar shechitas haPesach, that if the lost animal was found after the slaughtering, the actual slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, hu atzmo korev shlom, and then the lost animal that you found, and when did you find it? After the slaughtering of your Korban Pesach, it then will be offered, the now found animal will be offered as a Korban Shlom, and that won't be a point of discussion. So now we turn to the Gemara. Itmar, Rabba Omar, Koidem Shechita Uliachar Shechita Shoninu. Shoninu is a reference to our Mishnah, and basically this is the text that we saw in our Mishnah. Something found before Shechita, even though when Chatzos, midday, set in, it wasn't in front of me. But since it was found before the Shechita, it is labeled as a potential Korban Pesach, and then thereby rejected by my not choosing it. And as a result, it will be sent out to graze and develop a blemish, etc. Li'achar Shechita, that's the case where you will be able to offer the lost one that you found after the slaughtering as itself a Korban Shlomim. Rabbi Zera Omar, Rabbi Zera says the cutoff point is established as follows: Koidem Chatzos Uli Acher Chatzos Shoninu. Namely, the presence of the lost animal at midday, if it's there in front of you when Chatzos sets in, that will koivea, that will establish it as a Korban Pesach, even though you had sanctified it originally as a Korban Pesach, but it will lock it in to Korban Pesach status, and then when I choose the other one to serve as my Korban Pesach, this will become rejected. That's a case where it was found before Chatzos, that when Chatzos set in, Chatzos is the koveya, the establishing or the labeling factor. Li'achar Chatzos, if I find it, the lost one, after midday, at when midday set in, it locked in only the one animal that was present as being the Korban Pesach. The other one that had been lost and found, but it was found after midday set in, it doesn't get locked into Korban Pesach status, so hence it doesn't become rejected at the point that I slaughter the replacement animal, even though both of them are present at that time, because the slaughtering takes place some a few hours after midday, quite possibly. The Gemara asks, as far as Rabbi Zera is concerned, Rabbi Zera wanted to say that our Mishnah teaches as the cutoff point Koidim Chatzos versus Acher Chatzos, but that's not what it says in the Mishnah. Ul Rabbi Zera Hakatani Koidim Shchitas HaPesach. The Mishnah teaches as the cutoff point, the Koveya point, the slaughtering. It doesn't say Chatzos. Amos, Rabbi Zera will answer you, say as follows. The Mishnah should read Koidem Zman Shchitas HaPesach, or Achar Zman Shchitas HaPesach. Now, Koidem Zman Shchitas HaPesach is another way of saying Chatzos, because the Zman, the time for slaughtering the Pesach, is Chatzos. In other words, right after Chatzos. So, as far as the expression Shchita in the Mishnah, if you find it before the time of Shchita, so then the lost animal will be locked into to Pesach status. If you find it after the onset of the time of Shchita, it won't be locked in. Kitanoi, what we saw as a Machlokis Rabba and Rabbi Zera, turns out to be an earlier Machlokis Tanoi, a Tanaic controversy. HaPesach Shenimtza, a lost Korban Pesach that was then found, Koidem Shchita, before the slaughtering of the second one, of the replacement one, Yireh, it's sent out to graze. You cannot offer it as a Korban Shlomim. La'achar Shchita, if the lost one was found after I shechted, after I slaughtered the replacement one, Yikrav, it itself can be offered as a Shlomim. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Koidem Chatzos, Yireh, if I found the lost one before noon, and then I used another animal for my Korban Pesach, but at noontime, both were present, so then the one that I do not use is sent out to graze. Li'achar Chatzos, Yikrav, if I found the lost one after noon, after midday passed, then even though I use a second animal for my Korban Pesach, I can use this animal itself as a Korban Shlomim. It's not said to be rejected. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, that appears in the margin. We will be featuring in the Gemara two Lishonos. There are two versions, and they're labeled Roman numerals 1 and 2. They are two Lishonos, Benimtza Lifnei Shchita Shalasheni, Behemir Boi Achar Hashchita Shalasheni. The general topic will be the case of the lost Korban Pesach that I found, and I will have found it before the slaughtering of the replacement one, but the act of replication onto the tamura, onto the replacement animal, I shouldn't say replacement animal, I should say replication animal, that act of replication took place after the Shvita of the original, of the replacement Korban Pesach. Yesh litzayin, we have to note, shebe mikrim elu, in the cases that we're going to be seeing in the Gemara, yesh gimel behemos lefoneinu, there are three animals present. Number one, ha-pesach sheneva v'chal nimsa. There's the original Pesach that had been lost and then subsequently found. Number two, ha-sheni, the second animal, behemos shehufu shol yos bimkoim ha-pesach sheneva, the replacement animal that was set aside to be instead of the lost one. And the third animal that will be present is hatmura, dahainu behemas chulin, a mundane, common animal, shememirim hakedusha meha pesach shenevad v'lo nishchat, from which the sanctity of the what was the lost Korban Pesach but and found but not slaughtered, al oisu behemas chulin, that sanctity is then replicated onto that third animal, the behemas chulin. So we have three animals in the basic picture here. And the issue that is going to be preoccupying us will be the issue of when was the lost one found relative to when did the tamura from that animal take place. So we have quite a few factors over here on the side, in the margin. You notice we have a mivneh. And the purpose of these simunim, there are lots of markings that you can see, and the page might look, will say for some who are sensitive, might look overly marked. But my hope is that after we go through the sukkah, you won't have that feeling. On the side, we've written Matras ha-simunim, the purpose of this simunim b'sugya zu in this section, hino lahokel al hayacholus, it's in order to ease the ability or the ease the effort lahashvois shnei halashonos. We mentioned there are two versions, so and there, which are highlighted with Roman numeral 1 and later Roman numeral number 2. A triangle with a colored in tip will appear that highlights the expressions seifa and resha. A comment made by Rabo, or Rava, depending on the girsa, his name appears in a diamond, where Rava says, Omar Rava, lo shonu, there's a qualification of that which was taught in the Mishnah. The issue as far as versions are concerned, Rabo makes a comment on the Mishnah, but the issue is on what section of the Mishnah does he make his comment. So in Roman numeral number 1, his comment is on the latter part of the Mishnah, the Seifa. According to version number 2, which is Roman numeral number 2, we will find that Rabo makes his comment, and you'll notice the second diamond, four lines on the bottom, his comment is focused on the Resha, the first part of the Mishnah. So already, our hope is, by using the markings, you see the two triangles with the shaded in tips. The first was labeled Seifa, the second one labeled Resha. Rabo makes a comment. According to version number 1, his comment is on the Seifa. According to version number 2, his comment is on the Resha. A bow tie shape will appear in this sugya, and we've explained, Shnei Lishonos betotsaos shel Nimtza lifnei chatzos vehemir boi acher chatzos. We'll see two versions of the result of something that was found before chatzos, and where the Korban Pesach was found before, the lost one was found before chatzos, and the tamura was done from it onto a third animal after chatzos. In both Lashonos, we will see a standard triangle that in which you see Abaye challenging, And we noted on our Mivneh, Hatkofas, Abaye, Bishnei Lashonos, Abaye's attack in both Lashonos. A double underline will be used quite liberally in this section of Gemara to highlight the expressions achar, and the scenarios of found achar, found afterwards, and then you did the tmura after, or koidem achar, or koidem koidem, three different scenarios regarding the time of finding, and then the time of the tmura, the timing of the finding and the timing of the tmura. We have a little eitza, a little piece of advice here. Hamafteach lahavonas haGemara, the key to understanding the Gemara. Hino lahashvos bein hatotzaah shel divrei Rabba, to compare the outcome of Rabba, where he says avol nimtzo koidem v'hemer bo achar, which is featured in the Botai, leukimto shel hamokor shehevi Abaye koidem and achar. So with the markings, hopefully we'll be able to navigate where Rabba makes a comment concerning kodem versus, we're finding kodem, we don't say kodem what yet, but finding something before and doing the tmura afterwards. And the source that Abaye quotes will have also a case of finding something before and doing the tmura afterwards, and then our job will be to compare the results in order to then be able to appreciate what Abaye's question is. Now, we said a mouthful. Let's turn to the Gemara, and our hope in Gemara markings in many sugyas of this nature, which are fairly abstract, we're not that accustomed to dealing with these kind of halachas. But through Gemara markings, we hope that your review of the Gemara will be a bit undaunting. Now, the Gemara. The Sefer of the Mishnah had said, Achar Shchitas HaPesach, Yovi Shlomim, V'chein Tmuraso. If you found the lost Korban Pesach after you slaughtered your replacement one as your Korban Pesach, Yovi Shlomim means the animal itself is offered, is brought as a Shlomim, likewise with regard to the Tmura. So that if everything happens after the Shechita of the Pesach, as we said earlier in our Shiur, everyone agrees in that case that if you want to offer the original animal as a Shlomim, you can do that. And if you happen to be Meimir at that late point in time, the Tmura would be brought itself as a Shlomim. Omar Rabba, lo shanu, that which the Mishnah taught, that the Tmura is offered, this is qualified. The Tmura is offered, elo shenimtza achar shchita, the original lost one was found after shchita, behemir bo achar shchita, and you created the Tmura at that time as well, after the shchita of the replacement one. And because at that point there is no element of rejection whatsoever. What do we mean by that? When you were offering your Korban Pesach, you were offering the only animal that you had available at that time. You had an original Korban Pesach, but it was lost. It wasn't present. It wasn't in your vicinity. You weren't aware of it. Therefore, you're not credited with rejecting anything. Avol, we go on in the Gemara. Nimtza koidem shchita, v'heimir boi achar shchita. If you found the lost animal prior to the shchita of the replacement one, when we speak about shchita, we're talking about slaughtering it as a korban pesach. So, if you found the lost one before you slaughtered your replacement korban pesach, then what happened? You chose one over the other. So you, in effect, rejected the ovul. You rejected the lost one. The lost one that was found. And then what did you do? V'heimir bo achar shchita. And then you made the tmura after the shchita. After the shchita of the replacement one. Tmuraso mikoyach kedusha d'chuyo ka'asa v'lo kervo. the tamura derives its sanctity from what kind of animal? The sanctity that's on the tamura, even though the tamura wasn't present, that third animal wasn't present at the time of rejection, but the kedusha that's imposed on the tamura, the sanctity, it's coming from an animal that had been rejected, and therefore this third chulin animal that's now gaining kedushas tamura on it, its kedusha, its sanctity is from an animal that had been rejected, and therefore it's affected too, and therefore v'lo kerevo, it's not offered, the tamura is not offered, but rather sent out to graze till it develops a mum, etc. Esve Abaye. Abaye challenges this. There's a pasuk says im kesef. This is a pasuk in the context of a korban shlomim, and we have it included on the side of the Gemara. Perek Gimel pasuk Zayin in Sefer VaYikra. It says im kesef hu makriv korbono v'yikriv v'yisrael lifnei Hashem. This pasuk that features the kesef appears to be an extra pasuk. One could have known that a kesef would have been a korban, could have been a korban shlomim. Ma tamud lomar im kesef. So why does the Torah teach us this particular pasuk? L'rabois tmuras apesach achara pesach sheker v'shlomim. It's the Torah is informing us that there's another kind of animal, that another situation, not kind, but another situation of an animal being offered as a shlomim, other than, when we say another situation, the standard situation is where you simply dedicated an animal straight out as a korban shlomim. There's another situation, and that is this, the case of a tmuras ha-pesach, a pesach replication, achar ha-pesach, that's offered as a shlomim. Heichi domi, what are the circumstances in the source for which I need a pasuk to tell me something that I wouldn't have known on my own? So what are the circumstances? I lema shenimtza achar shchita v'hemir bo achar shchita. This is the case of achar, follow your double underlines. That case of where the original animal was found after the replacement one was signed, sealed, and delivered, was already slaughtered and completely processed as a korban pesach, well, pshita lama likra, it's obvious that if you did a tmura under these circumstances, where a mamir from an animal that itself had not been rejected, for it was found only afterwards. It wasn't present at the time of the offering of his korban pesach. It was found later on. So it wasn't rejected at all. So you're, and then you do a tmura from an animal that clearly itself wasn't rejected. So it's obvious that the tmura, the replicated animal, will also be offered itself as a korban shlomim. What do I need a pasuk? Lomali crow. What do I need a pasuk for that? Elolav shenimtza koidem shchita v'hemir bo achar shchita. The case that the pasuk is revealing, the case of an animal that will be offered as a korban shlomim, is where the original one was found before shchita. And what that means is that when it is not chosen, it itself was rejected. So it itself, we can rest assured, won't be offered as a korban shlomim. However, he did the tamura, he did a replication after he slaughtered his korban pesach. And the source says it's offered as a shlomim. That is against Rabba. So we have a Tanaic source. Now let's use our markings. Rabba taught, if you want to really navigate, just note the previous diamond. Rabba spoke over there. Rabba spoke about a case of follow, try to find where the double underlines koidem acher are found. And there was a squiggle underline avol nimtza koidem, just a few lines up. Rabba said at that point, he said, the last one line that I'm looking at, there's an arrow up there, it says, Koidem, where it was found, Koidem Shrita Ve'emir Bo Acha Shrita, what was the result? So in the Bowtie, he said, Tumurasa Mikayach Kedusha Dechuyav Kosa V'lo Kervo. So according to Rabba, the case of Koidem Achar, not offered. The animal is not offered. The tumur is not offered. As far as the Tanaic source is concerned, under those same circumstances of Koidem Acher, it is offered. That is Abaye's question. The Gemara goes on. Stage Gimel. Stage 3. Loi. Li'oilam shenimtza acher shchita ve'emer bo acher shchita. The source is really talking about that case. Now, we said, if that's the case, so it's obvious that the tumura can be offered as a shlamim. It's not coming from a kedusha d'chuya. What do I need a pasuk for? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ukra asmachta bi'alma. The citation of this pasuk in this context, in that particular Tanaic source, is not there as if the pasuk is the source for this information. It's called an asmachta. It's just a reference point. But it's not an actual source. So the Gemara asks, Ukra l'mayosa. So what is the role of the pasuk? What is the role of Im Kesef? What does Im Kesef teach me? The Gemara answers, it has a role, and which is contained in the following Tanaic source, but this is already off the topic. So what does Im Kesef teach me? L'chidatanya, it teaches me the following. Kesef, l'rabois es ha-pesach la'alya. It comes to include the Korban Pesach and the need to offer the fat tail, if you're offering a sheep or a lamb as a Korban Pesach, in addition to the entrails, the shnei kloyos and the aseres hakoved, you also are to offer its alya, its fat tail. The tail of a lamb is fatty, and it's offered on the altar. Kishu oimer im kesev l'rabois pesach she'ovro shnosoi u'shlomim haboyin machmas pesach v'chol mitzvah shlomim. And what does that mean? Shetoun smicho nesachim t'nuthes chosav v'shok. So the additional word im kesev tells me that a Pesach Shavra Shnoso, that represents a Korban Pesach that aged beyond 1 year, it then is no longer fit to serve as a Korban Pesach, or a Korban Shlomim that comes as a result of a Korban Pesach, and that could be a situation where the owner used another animal as his formal, as his original or formal Korban Pesach. So what is he going to do with this one, the one that was lost and then found? So that's the Shlomim Haboy Machmas Pesach. It's something that becomes labeled a Shlomim where it originally had been designated as a Pesach. These cases of Pesach Shavar Shnosso, or this case of the Shlomim Boy Machmas Pesach, they have upon them all the mitzvahs of a standard Korban Shlomim. And what does that entail? Sheton Smicha, there is the requirement of the owner placing his hands on the animal's head before slaughtering. Unesachim, there are accompanying sacrifice, a meal offering with wine. Utnufas Chosav Eshok, and the waving of the animal's breast and shok, part of its leg. The Chosav Eshok, they're waved and then given to the Kohen. Shu Omer, when the Torah in that Parsha says V'im Eiz, that's a few psukim later in the Parsha of Shlomim, Hifsik Ho'inyin, the V'im Eiz serves to separate the topic of the, or the example of the Kesev from the case of someone bringing a goat as a Shlomim, Limeid Al Ho'ez She'ein Te'una Alya. In the case of a goat offered as a Korban Shlomim, so the tail is not part of the offering on the altar. Sheep, yes. Goat, no. As promised, a second Lashon. And that's what the squiggle underline does oftentimes in Gemara markings. It's a transition expression between two versions of whatever. Ika Demasni Law Aresha. There are those that teach Rabbah's qualification. Rabbah, again, in the diamond that you'll see very shortly. There are those that teach his point as a comment on the Resha, the first part of the Mishnah. Well, let's see. HaPesach SheNimtza Koidem Shchitas HaPesach. A lost Korban Pesach that was found before you slaughtered the replacement one. So at the point you are slaughtering your replacement animal, both are there. You're choosing one over the other. So what do you do with the rejected one? Yireh ad shistoiv vimocher. So it's sent out to graze until its yistoiv means develops a blemish. Then it's sold. You can't sell an animal that has kedushas aguf, that has inherent sanctity, prior to it developing a blemish. As long as it has kedushas aguf, it cannot be redeemed. But once it develops a blemish, it then can be redeemed. It loses its kedushas aguf. It becomes something with kedushas domim that can be redeemed. V'yovi b'dom of shlomim v'chein tumuraso. And the same would apply to a tumura, a replication of this. Omar Rabba loy shonu, that which was taught that the tumura would also be rejected, that eloshe nimtza koidem shchita vehemir boy koidem shchita, where the lost animal was found prior to shchita. In such a case, we know that when it's not chosen, it's being rejected. That's called rejection. And you did the tumura vehemir boy koidem shchita, and you did the replication prior to the shchita. So the replication animal was also rejected in the fullest sense. Not only was it deriving sanctity from a rejected animal, but it too is there at the time of rejection. Avol nimtza koidem shchita vehemir boyachar shchita. But if the lost animal is found before shchita, when the shchita takes place, it's true, it is being rejected. The one that you don't choose is being reactively rejected by your choosing the other one. But you do the tumura v'hemir bo achar shchita. When you do the tumura, that third animal, that chulin animal that's now becoming sanctified through replication, it wasn't there at the time of rejection. True, it derives its sanctity from something that was rejected, but the animal itself, this third animal, this tumur animal, wasn't there at the time of rejection. What does Rabbo say? Tumuraso krevo shlomim. It's offered as a shlomim. It itself is offered as a shlomim, even though the origin of this thing's kedusha could not have been offered as a shlomim. It, the tumura, will be offered as a shlomim. My taima, why will it be offered as a shlomim and not sent out to graze? Ki kova shchita. When does shchita, the slaughtering of the replacement animal, establish things? Midi dechazile, something that is fit, something that is sanctified. Midi de lo chazile, lo kova, something that's not, that hasn't been sanctified at all. It's not part of the realm of sanctification. It hasn't been sanctified. So lo kova, the shchita doesn't establish it as something rejected. By the way, again, taking full advantage of our marking system, you can see the difference between these two lashonos. According to the first lashon, this scenario of kodem achar, what did Rabbo say in that case of kodem achar? Just use your markings. Spot the double underlines. Where do you see the case of kodem achar? What did Rabbo say at the bow tie at that point? He said there, tumuraso mikoyach kedusha dechuya kosa velo karva. What does Rabbo say in this lashon of kodem achar? He says tumuraso krev shlomo, the animal itself is offered as a shlomim, not like he said in the first lashon where he described it as coming from a kedusha dechuya and it's not offered. Here he says it is offered. And here, this is a second version. That's why we call it Roman number two. Here the logic is, it's a different approach. That's what makes it a second version. And his approach here is that things are locked in only if they're present at the time of shchita. If they're not present at the time of shchita, so they're not locked in. Paying no attention to the fact that the origin of the sanctity of this tumura is in fact something that had been rejected. That doesn't matter. Esve Abaye. Abaye quotes a Tanaic source. It's the same source as we saw just before. It's more elaborate over here, though. Im kesev, ma talmud lomar, what do I need im kesev for? La rabbas tmuras ha-pesach, achra pesach shekrev ha-shlamim. So far, that's the same as the quote we saw before. The Gemara continues at the top of Psadi Zayin Omer Aleph. Yochel af lifnei ha-pesach kein, would you say the same thing that the tmura would be offered as a shlomim even in the case of prior to Pesach? Talmud lomar, who korev v'ein tmura, tmuras ha-pesach kreva. It is offered, but not the tmura. Now we take a look at Rashi at the top of Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph. Yochol af lifnei ha-pesach kein. What does that mean? Tmuras, a tmura of ha-pesach shenimsa lifnei pesach. The tmura of a Pesach that was found before he offered his replacement animal. Would it tehei krev shlomim? Would the tmura of such a would the tmura in that case be offered? So Rashi goes on. Talmud lomar hu pesach hu ha pesach kosher korev v'ein tmuraso kreva. Namely, lav tmuras hahu de korev komem mayit. Elohochi komar. We're not saying we're not being memayit the tmura of that which was offered, but rather yesh tmuras pesach sheina kreva. The point is there is an example of a tmuras pesach that is not offered. So we have a Tanaic source that tells us that there are cases of tmuras pesach that are offered as a shlomim, and there are cases of tmuras pesach that are not offered as a shlomim. Heichi, we go back to the Gemara, second line from the top. The end of the line, hechi domi. What are the circumstances that this source is teaching us? I lemo shenimtza koidem shchita vehemir boi koidem shchita. Notice the timing of things. Kodem kodem. That everything took place before the shchita. Namely, you found the lost one before shchita and you did the tmur before shchita. When the shechita was done, when the actual slaughtering was done, everything, all the other animals were there, and they were actively rejected by might not having chosen them nor doing anything with the tmura. So if that were the case of the source, pshita, lomali kra, what do I need the pasuk to tell me it's not offered? The pasuk that we saw in the source says, who korev ein tmuras ha-pesach kreva. I don't need a pasuk to reject that case. That's obviously rejected as being offered as a shlomim, both the original korban pesach and the tmura. Elo lav shenimsa, rather, what is being in this source, what's being rejected, or what is being rejected as being offered itself as a shlomim? What's the case? Elo lav shenimsa kodem shchita v'hemir bo achar shchita. Here you have the case of koidem achar, found, original found before shchita, the tmura taking place after shchita. And it says in this source, eino kreva. Use the arrow that you see to the right hand side of the Gemara text. Compare the conclusion that this Tanaic source reaches with what Rabbah had said in version number 2 toward the bottom of Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. Notice the arrow 4 lines from the bottom. Do you see what Rabbah said in that case of Koidem Achar? Rabbah said in the case of Koidem Achar, Tumasa Kreva Shlomim. Here we're concluding in the case of Koidem Achar that Eino Kreva, Tiufta, the Rabbah, Tiufta Sudmor here concludes, with which we also will be concluding our shir, that this is a rejection, a total rejection of that which Rabbah claimed. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.